Thank you, Brother Goodwin. And good evening. If you're happy in the Lord, say amen. Amen. If you want to be, say amen. Amen. I'm always amazed at the people that are happy who don't want to be. I don't know why that happens like that, but it does. Well, I'm glad in spite of yourself, you're happy in the Lord. It's a delight to be here. Turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 10. Very familiar passage. And it's just a delight to be with Brother Goodwin and all of the staff people that have put this together. And thank you so much. And I thank the Lord tonight for the fact that Brother God has chosen to spare Brother Goodwin, and it's nice to have him still with us. And it's a blessing. And then it's just good to be, I just love old people. I do, and the Lord has called me often to minister and preach with old people. For 26 years, I did multiple nursing home services throughout the month, and I thought I was going to get, I just resigned my church after 23 years, May the 23rd, and I thought, there goes all of my ministry to old people, and then I found out McPherson Camp, Stettler and Glick. I think I'm going to be all right. But not you, Becky, not you, not you. You can tease people you trust. I don't tease people I don't trust. So if we're making fun of each other, that's a good sign. We're enjoying each other's company. And I'm very honored to be here, humbled to be here with all of you. It's good to see Todd Hurst and his family and UBCers back there. I remember when Todd was a business manager at UBC and Sister Hurst, Sister Todd was cranking out those high soprano notes in the college choir, and remember those days, and I think it was 1985 or fall of 85 when you went. I came too, and my brothers were already there, had been there, and those were some wonderful days. And aren't you glad God doesn't give up on us? Isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing? How many of you would be here tonight if it had to have worked perfectly the first time? He's the God of multiple chances, isn't he? And thank God for establishing grace. Praise the Lord for that. But aren't you glad he's faithful to bring us along the way and all of our immaturities and our struggles? And Brother Glick had a great influence on my life early on through those high school years, and taught me many, many things. God used him mightily and impacted my life and attitude of worship and so many wonderful things. And then it was great to, my parents used to take me to hear Brother Dan Stettler preach when I was just a small child. And we would hear him preach, and his pastorate at Franklin, Ohio, God blessed and used them. We'd talk about that. It's just like we would talk about Abraham Lincoln and George Washington and all the other, just an amazing thing. For 20 years, he pastored, and God blessed him there. And then from there, of course, president of Hope Sound, and we've served together. I grew up with Brother Stettler at part of the leadership of the Heartland Conference that we're a part of and still a part of. And so it's just a delight. One of the greatest preachers you will hear anywhere, Brother Dan Stettler, when God anoints him and helps him. And I'm here to listen and to soak it in throughout this week. And I thank God for his ministers. This is a familiar passage tonight. I couldn't get away from it as I traveled the miles and came this direction. It's a familiar story in Mark chapter 10 and beginning in verse 46. And I want us to just look at it for just a few moments tonight. I know you're road weary and you still have luggage to unpack and you could use a good night of sleep, but I understand that, and tomorrow will be a fresh day. But if the Lord could just help us for a few moments tonight to kind of set the tenor. He already has, but continue to seal it to our hearts. That will help maybe set the tenor of the week. In verse 46, it says, "And they came to Jericho, And as he went out of Jericho, this being Jesus with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." Our Father and our God, in these few moments, would you just continue to wrap us in your Spirit? I pray that you would open our hearts and our minds. And will you accomplish what needs to be accomplished tonight by the means of your grace in us, for us, and through us? For our good and for your glory, we ask it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Turn to somebody that you haven't spoken to tonight yet since you've been here and just give them a wave. I know we can't do the handshake. We'll be forever getting there. But yeah, just wave at them. It'd be all right. Be all right. I'd like for you to join me in our imagination and come and walk with me down that dusty road that leads through Jericho, out the northern gate, the 15 miles to Jerusalem. A great teacher is teaching. His fame has preceded him. His works and his miracles has aroused interest. He's part of the gossip and the hum of conversation. He's with a group of his followers and others, and they're passing through Jericho. They're on their way to make that trek to Jerusalem for Passover and for that Holy Week. There's much that could be discussed and said. They took a full advantage, as was customary in that day, of those opportunities to talk and learn and instruct. As these important people would pass along the dusty streets of the city, in the openings and the doorways and the crevices along the way, the crowds would gather and they would form their lines, and they would watch and listen as the important men would pass, and trying to pick up on their words and see who they were, and the hum of gossip and would precede them down the street and hear this entourage is passing, and there's a great teacher among them, and they get to the northern end of Jericho. They're just ready to step, pass on through Jericho and take that 15-mile walk to Jerusalem. And all of a sudden, in a time that is somewhat should have been staged with dignity and courtesy and respect for what was happening and who was passing, a blind man, a beggar, began screaming, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." There's things about Bartimaeus that intrigue me tonight that in my heart and mind, I believe, sets the stage for camp meeting or revival or a move of God in our midst that I'd just like to leave with you tonight. There's things about Bartimaeus. He could have remained silent. He could have just stayed lost in the crowd. But instead, he steps forward. And he's not going to let this moment pass. He's heard that Jesus is in the crowd. He understands the significance of the moment. Bartimaeus is no dummy. He understands his place in culture and society. He knows this should not be a moment about him. But the setting, the environment, the opportunity, he just cannot let it pass. Jesus is passing by. This one from Nazareth, this healer, this miracle worker, this one who claims to be the very Son of God is passing by. Would he do something for him? It does my heart good tonight. In fact, it gives me comfort tonight. As I drove here, as you did, and we marked away the miles. I thought of all that I was leaving behind. I thought of my family and my wife and my kids and youth camp and what's going on our conference. And I thought of work responsibilities and things that I was driving away from and wondering, you know, boy, leaving all of that. And my heart came at peace with this reality. That if this week, if this encampment is nothing more than just a ritual, if it's nothing more than just something nice to observe, if it's nothing than just an observation and a tradition and a ritual, then my trip is frustrating at best. And so is yours. The effort, the luggage, the time off work, the finances, the sacrifices, away from family, away from the job, away from the responsibilities, and we know we'll pay later when we get back next week. And if it's just for another observation, just for another ritual, then we have gathered in vain. But the reality is tonight that this gathering is not just a draw of the card. It's not just luck or chance or happenstance or some freakish event. No, we are on divine agenda tonight and throughout this week. And my heart cries with blind Bartimaeus, "Oh, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." A divine encounter is what we need. Bartimaeus wasn't interested in just an observation. He wasn't interested in just being a part of something that really was insignificant. He desired a fresh experience, an encounter with the Son of God. There's some things that I observe about Bartimaeus that I believe speaks to us tonight. The first thing that speaks to me about blind Bartimaeus is this. Why he cried out as he did was he was a man who refused to be satisfied with his present condition. And when he'd heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth in that crowd, the verse 47 tells us, when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out, "Have mercy on me." I believe without a doubt tonight that we'll have revival if we will just quit being satisfied with our present condition. I'm almost appalled anymore. It seems as if we're okay with our children going to hell. It seems as if anymore we're okay with the empty pews and the vacant parking lots. It seems as if we've just settled and said, "It's okay." God wants to pass by and do something great among us. When Jesus is passing by, one event after another, one setting after another, he sets it up, he arranges it, he passes by, and he's looking for men and women who will cry out to him with begging, pleading hearts, because he's promised that he will answer the seeking heart. Bartimaeus, "Jesus, thou Son of David." He refused to be satisfied with his present condition. The reality tonight is this: we will never change what we're willing to tolerate in our hearts, in our lives, in our ministries, in our families. We'll never allow the Holy Spirit to transform and change those things that we're willing to put up with and endure. Bartimaeus didn't want to remain a beggar. He did not want to remain blind. He wanted to experience Jesus Christ. He refused to be satisfied with his present condition. I pray tonight and throughout this week, we've already heard from Brother Glick and others, I say amen. I pray that every one of us somehow in our hearts, there is a dissatisfaction with where we are and a hunger for something more. Listen, it has to become something more than just an observation and a tradition. This must become a week of a divine encounter with the Almighty God. And if it is, miracles will take place. Hearts and lives will be transformed. yours and mine. You see, it starts with us. Bartimaeus refused to be satisfied with his present condition in verse 47 and verse 48. He refused to be sidetracked by his peers. This incredible characteristic stands out. It says, and many charged him that he should hold his peace. This isn't the time, Bartimaeus. This isn't the way we've always done it. This isn't the tradition. No, you need to be quiet. Remember who you are. Remember that you have your limitations, Bartimaeus. This is just the way your life's going to be. Just be content with what you got, what little few alms fall your way, that you can survive every day. Just be glad for that and don't ask for more. But not Bartimaeus. He refused to be sidetracked by his peers. And when they urged him to hold his peace, the scripture says that he cried out the more a great deal. Jesus, thou son of David. The urgency here is amazing. He will not be stipend. He will not be quieted. He's crying out to God. He's a beggar, and he's not begging for alms. He's begging for an audience with the master. Oh, Lord, this week, in the services, in the prayer meetings, in our rooms. Oh, God, visit us. Don't just pass by and we be amazed to watch you go. But, oh, Lord, may we desire a personal encounter with you. I'm a man that stands before you tonight. Thank God for the experiences of grace. And thank God that I believe I'm saved beyond a shadow of a doubt. And thank God I believe that I'm sanctified entirely beyond a shadow of a doubt. And as far as I know, there's not one holdout in my life. But I'm still a man that desires more of God, a greater, deeper touch. I stand before you. I need miracles from God. I need him to do some things that I cannot do on my own. You as well. It doesn't matter to me how many years you've served the Lord. Thank God for every one of them. You need something from God this week. You need an encounter with Jesus this week that will transform your life. Don't be distracted by your peers. Don't become intimidated by those around you, or my family, or my friends, or my peers, or what will others think? And listen, I've learned this a long time ago. It isn't the young people that succumb to peer pressure. In fact, they usually respond the quickest. But it's some old folks that are worried about their image. And Lord God, humble us. Humble us. Let's just lay it out there. We're all seekers tonight. We're all seekers. Bartimaeus refused to be sidetracked by his peers. I could tell stories. Illustrations, there are those. The scripture has stories of those who were distracted with the things, with the bright lights, with the present culture, and they lost their way. You see, it takes a pursuit, a passionate pursuit, in order to have and experience great victory. As the Glicks sang tonight, it was beautiful songs of victory, of being more than conqueror. But along the way, they're also singing, I'm pressing, I'm pursuing, I'm committing. My part, my involvement, my pursuit. God just doesn't bless mice. Blesses people who seek him. People who seek him. He refused to be sidetracked by his peers in verse 48. In verse 49, this beautiful verse stands out. It almost seems to be a little bit unique, but I like it. For not only Bartimaeus refused to be satisfied with his present condition, and he refused to be sidetracked by his peers, but in verse 49, he was not refused nor scorned. He cries out. He cries out all the more. He disrupts the parade. I mean, big stuff is about to happen. Jesus is on his way to Passover, triumphant entry into Jerusalem, Holy Week. I mean, big stuff is going on, and yet the cries of a beggar halts the steps of the master. And they not only did then, but they still do tonight. Hallelujah. Your feeble cries, my feeble cries, halts the steps of the Almighty. And he says, come on, bring him to me. Well, all of a sudden, the peers around him seem to be a bit jealous, I think. Barney, he's calling for you. He's on his way. He's stripping off his coat. He's humbling himself. He's falling at the feet of the master. I mean, this is a moment that he's longed for. And I'm longing for such moments this week. I don't know when they're going to happen. They may be, I don't know when. I don't have to be the preacher. It can happen when the offertory is being played. I've had it happen in all kinds of ways. When suddenly the presence, the stately steps of the Almighty God comes near and close. And he ministers to my needs. Oh, Bartimaeus was not refused nor scorned. I've got good news for you. You have a seeking heart. He will not ignore you. He will not turn you away. You just bring your burden, your plea to him. He's able. Bartimaeus was not refused nor scorned. For it says, Jesus stood still. Be of good comfort, Bartimaeus. He calls for you. Do you hear him? I'm telling you, there's times when I hear him. I believe every day I get up with the purpose and intent to serve the Lord by his grace. But there's some days when I feel that draw. I mean, it's just strong. I know I just got to find a place and get away. I don't know what it means. I feel it. Do you know what I'm talking about? I mean, just that draw. Just that draw. The Lord, it seems as if I'm the only one on the planet and God has zero on me. And he draws me to the place of prayer, the place of seeking, to an altar somewhere. Maybe it's in my car, or maybe it's out back, or in the garage, or maybe in my study, often in my study. And I just push the door to, and boy, God just does something real in my heart. Do you hear him calling you? Do you hear him calling you? Not just another moment, not just another camp meeting, not just to chalk him off on a wall. No, an encounter with Jesus Christ that'll change your life. Hallelujah. He was not refused nor scorned. We seek him. We seek him. We refuse to be satisfied our present condition, and we refuse to be sidetracked by our peers. We will have the attention of the Almighty, and this week will explode with testimonies of answered prayer and victory. He was repentant and sought in verse 50. He realized he had the attention of the Lord, and there he is, bent before the Lord as a servant. There he is. Casting away his garment in verse 50, he rose and he came to Jesus. He removed every hindrance that would handicap his progress. He was through with his beggarly rags and his cup of begging. He was willing to give up his coins in order to meet with Christ. And so the question is, what are you clutching? What do you need to release if you're going to have revival in your own heart? What are you and I holding on to that we need to let go and let God just have his way? He was repentant and he sought. His request was specific in verse 51. What wilt thou that I should do to thee, Jesus said. What a question, a unique question. We often think that's a unique thing for the Lord to ask. I mean, it was obvious. Everybody around's like, duh. You know, I mean, it's pretty obvious. But Bartimaeus need to say it. Need to say it. What's your name? It's Jacob. Who are you? What is your name? What is your problem? My eyes, my eyes. Jesus responds to the specific request. His request was specific, Lord, it's my soul that's dry, like parched ground, need of rain. Lord, it's my family. It's my daughter that has the demon. It's my son that lies at the point of sickness. It's my this, that, Lord. It's our church. Our pastor needs help from you, God.
Oh, Lord, you know this need. You know the bitterness that I'm struggling with, Lord. You know that unforgiveness that I'm struggling to get victory over, Lord. You know that thing. You know that, Lord. Lord, I'm not going to quit asking till you give me victory. I'm not going to stop. I will not be denied. Lord, you know I need to be sanctified holy. You know I need to be filled with the Spirit. Lord, you know. I'm not going to quit asking. Quit asking until the answer comes. Specific request. I've got a couple pages here of illustrations over my years of the pastor of others that have come and pastor. Their request was specific. Request was specific. And I watched God meet specific requests. Some of my requests have had dollar signs on them. I can't explain it. I've seen churches built and people still to this day. We tried to figure out how it got done and we got pretty close, but we still, Brother Dan, you know what this is? You just say, it just got built to the glory of God. I mean, it was hard work, but I don't know. This one gave this and this one gave that and God came through over here and suddenly this and that. How are we going to get through Camp Meeting? I don't know, but He knows. I can tell you, I remember the dad that told me one Sunday, he said, Pastor, I know you're in the office every day. What hours? And I told him, and he said, I'm going to come in on my lunch break. Is that okay? I said, sure enough. He said, I just want to pray in the sanctuary. He came, started coming in on his lunch break, this young dad. A young dad in his 30s had a teenage daughter that was wayward and lost and giving them fits. And he'd come in, I'd hear the door slam. I'd watch him go through the lobby into the sanctuary. I turned on a few lights in there and I'd hear him in there and see him in there praying day after day. A couple weeks passed day after day. It was no surprise that Sunday morning when the tears started splashing down that girl's face, when her heart broke like a dam. God had so spoken to her and she hit that altar. No surprise! Ended up going to Bible college and serving the Lord tonight. Refused to just take things as they were. It's no shame for you to have a wayward daughter, a wayward son. The shame is that you don't care anymore. The shame is that never a prayer goes up anymore. It always gets quiet when I say that. But I've pastored people with wayward sons and daughters Wednesday night after Wednesday night and prayer meeting after prayer meeting, and you never hear a name mentioned. And you say, Lord God, his request was specific. Specific. It's my eyes. He didn't ask for another tin cup, better rags, better robes, better clothing, a better standing in society. For Jesus to address the injustices of beggars. No, it was his eyes. And so Jesus touched him. In verse 52, he received and he served. It says, and he received. I can only imagine. I can't imagine, because while physically my eyes weren't blind, I have had blindness. And he has pulled the scales and let the light shine in. Listen, whatever your need is, he has the answer. Whatever their need is, he has the answer. Maybe they're not here yet, but he's waiting on them. He's already there. He's waiting on them. He's waited on you. This week needs to be more than just a tradition, but an encounter with the Almighty God. Till our lives are transformed and we receive. And it says, and he served. He followed Jesus in the way. Revival will come when we get unhappy with our present lack of power. Revivals throughout history are earmarked by people becoming desperate for God. And God responding. over and over and over again. When people sought, God answered. It didn't always look like they thought it might, and it won't always look like we think it should or would, but He still comes through. He still comes through in His way, in His time. And tonight, folks, this week, we need miracles from God. You need miracles from God. Every one of us needs to leave this place different than the way we came. And He is able. He is able. And so as He passes by, song after song, sermon after sermon, prayer after prayer, is grace, grace, grace. Call out to Him, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And let's see what He will do. Would you stand with me, please? And so it is, Lord. We've done our best. And we will endeavor to do our best, but it will not be enough. One moment of Your presence and glory will accomplish more than we could ever attempt in a lifetime. And so, oh God, smash this place with just holy presence and visitation. Stir up, dig up. Oh Lord, stir the fires and dig up fallow ground. And Lord, I pray You would do it. If there is sin among us, may it be repented of, forgiven. If there are those that need to be sanctified holy, may they be sanctified holy and come to that place of glorious and full surrender and freedom in Christ. There's unanswered prayers, Lord. Help us to pray. If there's lost loved ones, if there's needy children, if there's situations at church or at work or whatever, oh God, we want to leave here knowing that You're in charge. Oh God, may it be so. May it be so. And just as You touched that blind brother, Bartimaeus, Lord, touch us. Power and glory. In Jesus' precious name. There's some praying at the altar. Here, if you want to come on up, you're welcome to do that. If you want to spend a little time at the altar, you're welcome to do that. Maybe Sister Glick could just play something softly for us. The rest of you can consider yourself dismissed. But however you're being pulled of the Spirit, just respond. It's camp meeting. It's camp meeting. Let's let the Lord have His way. Praise His name. Praise His name. Praise His name. It's my eyes, Lord. This is my need, Lord. This is what I believe You need to do for me, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Oh, Lord. Yes. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.